The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, it's a live program, and it's a beautiful day, and I hope you all get a chance to go out and really enjoy it. We've had some very interesting summer times in the past here in Washington, where it's got way up into the hundreds, and we've had summers where there's been no weather relative to water, and this year we got a little bit of both. We got high temperatures and a lot of moisture. Well, take it while you got it, guys, and just enjoy it. Anyway, welcome to the program. We have a very interesting program, and it's kind of designed and funneled into, you know, the women's world. And we're talking about PMS and, you know, premenstrual syndrome. And also we're going to get into menopause, and we're going to get into all kinds of things that has to do with women's medicine. And it's important that we focus on that. Guys, this affects you as well. And it affects you in a way that you need to be supportive of the ladies in your life. You know, when you see certain things, it's not just because, and, you know, we put the cliches that a lot of men will put on, you know, women's reactions and stuff, but there can be real significant problems that you need to be supportive with and help them through and handle it. And by the way, everything that we're talking about with women today, you can convert into men, because when we're talking about menopause, there's this thing called andropause. It's the same thing, but it affects men and not women. Having said that, I have a guest who is an expert in this area, one that I have tremendous admiration for, one that you know very well, Dr. Stephanie Pina. Dr. Pina, welcome.
Glad to be back.
It is good to be back. And before we go too far in the program, and I'm going to let everybody know, it's Dr. Pina's birthday today. So happy birthday, Dr. Stephanie.
Thank you very much. There's nothing I'd rather do than the radio show to talk about PMS and menopause. And
listen, it's a gorgeous day. Just make sure you go outside, you know, go down to the waterfront, do something fun, you know, and do that kind of thing.
Well, if we're not here to, you know, support the people, right? It's about treating as many people as possible. So why not utilize every day
exactly
to do that?
Exactly. Anyway, welcome back. And as you know, our listeners know and should know that you're a doctor of naturopathic medicine, and this is a sweet spot for you. This is something that you do. You specialize in women's medicine. You specialize in, you know, with women fertility and so forth, but also in this specific area. So let's get into it a little bit. And when we're talking about, first, let's talk about the uniqueness of women and the, you know, the beautiful orchestration, you will, of hormones and their interactions and so forth. And then we'll kind of take it into what happens when they're not working the way they're supposed to.
Well, I think it's always interesting. And when I got into women's medicine, when I was in first naturopathic school and took quite a few shifts and got a chance to really meet with some of the top doctors in that area at the time that were really trying to figure out how to balance not just reproductive function for women, but how does the ebbs and flows of hormones really affect overall health, overall lifestyle, balance, stress responses. And, you know, back then as well, too, they didn't really look at, was there anything different between men and women other than a definition or a time period in their life? And so when I used to work with a lot of women, whether it was for fertility or with working with regulating a cycle when they're younger, and as they're starting to transition into perimenopause and menopause, those transitions are kind of got a similarity, even though they have different terms attached to them. And so as we transition as women throughout life, it's interesting because you have to see what was going on before, looking back at what was like a period or a cycle like before, and how does that predict the future going forward? Because really that's a true kind of preventive medicine, is really looking at what am I at now and where is that going to lead me later on? And that type of kind of holistic thinking and thinking outside the box is not something that's usually thought of when you're with an OBGYN and you're doing your annual exam, or they're ready to prescribe a birth control or hormone replacement. They're thinking of the moment now, but where were you before that helps us to predetermine where you are going forward in the future?
The thing that I want to add to your commentary is this. We live in very different times. And I mean, setting all this craziness the last couple of years aside, which has, and I'm going to ask you about that in the second half of the program and how COVID has affected women's hormones and so forth. But also, we live in very different times in this aspect. You know, women generally go through transition in several different times of their life. The first time when they are young little girls, and then they become women and hormones start kicking in and so forth. And that's usually, in a perfect world, traditionally somewhere in the neighborhood of between 11 and 12 years old, 13 years old. And then they should go on without, you know, too much bumps and bruises until they go into the perimenopause pattern, where they start slowing down, and then into full menopause, where their menstrual cycles completely stop. But we should do these in easy slide throughs. They shouldn't be bumps and bruises, but it seems to be unique to Western culture that Western civilization produces more disruption, if you will, and more discomfort and disease and pathology for women than other parts of the world can be. Now we're seeing young girls going into menstruation when they're like 9 or 10 years old. And it's not as unusual as it used to be. And then we see women having much more difficulty, not only with their cycles, but also in a perimenopause pattern. And then in menopause, it's disruptive. And unfortunately, as always, allopathic medicine treats the symptom rather than the situation. Why is that? That's probably the question. Why are we seeing much more problem in normal hormonal cycles and transitions throughout the years than we did, well, way back in my grandmother's day?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things. And that's why one of the first things I do when I sit down with anyone is kind of see, you know, how has their cycles been since the beginning? How have any of their pregnancies been? What was their experiences, both physiologically and mental, emotionally? Because the stress responses have probably not changed since your grandmother's years, the way we interpret them have, but our outside influences have changed as well too. Our diet has changed. Things that we get exposed to on a regular basis, not getting enough sleep at night and having different factors that can affect hormone disruptors and our own receptors can all play a huge factor in there. And how much is it is that we know more now than we did before as well, too. But we also have, unfortunately, different treatment options. And so those treatment options that are used to treat symptomatic control can also create additional issues as well, too. So simply giving somebody something to balance out that looks like if your hormones are low and all of a sudden, oh, we'll just give you more as a replacement and you'll feel the way you do, doesn't always work the same because we're not thinking about how that affects other parts of the body. We see this with birth control pills. We see this with hormone replacement all the time. We see this with different types of antibiotics and even antidepressants that are used for a lot of PMS types of symptoms, for a lot of menopausal symptoms. So when we really have to think about what's going on different now, there's some changes that are different, and we have to take those into considerations like exposures. But at the same time, too, what wasn't happening before is we weren't talking about it. We weren't addressing the issue, and it was something that just wasn't talked about. You didn't talk about your menstrual cycle with your family and friends, and you didn't have that same kind of talk with your primary care doctor that might be visiting your house and treating everybody else in the house too. You were the least concern. So there's a lot of changes that happen, but at the same time, we're still the same physiological beings that we were before.
So let me ask you a question. You know, we live in a different world, different times, modern times, if you will. And everybody, we have 5G networks out there. We're on iPads. We're on devices that are constantly putting out EMFs or, you know, low frequency electromagnetic fields. And, you know, we've talked about the fact that they cause all kinds of problems. They cause cancers and the like. In your opinion and in your experience, how much is all this electromagnetic stuff that we're seeing out there? In addition, we're going to talk about dietary patterns and biochemical exposures and runoffs and things they inject in animals. But just that area, how much of that, in your opinion, has to do with disrupting normal hormonal patterns in women, and obviously as well as in men?
In my experience, and since I don't have anything to kind of back this up on except for what I've seen in the office as well too, I think it has more of an effect on our cyclical patterns. So the things like our sleep cycle, the things that affect us on an everyday basis, because we get thrown off just a little bit by not being able to get the deeper sleep that we need, and how that affects hormones. So it's more of an indirect effect. I think it's tough also anytime you talk about kind of environmental medicine and things that are out there. As soon as you change one thing, there's something else to change as well, too. So it's the world we live in, you know, better chemistry and through medicine and stuff, but better medicine through chemistry. But I think we change our cycles up more. And so that tends to create issues in the long run. But those changes are ever so slight. So they're hard to record, like in research studies. They're hard to even see in ourselves. So sometimes a number of years have to pass before we say, oh, you know what? Something has started to happen ever since this exposure. Or I was in a certain area, and even digestive health, I traveled, and then my digestive health is off after that. So I think it's tough to completely put it together that says 5G and everything is affecting it. But you have to see how sensitive that person is, because one person can have an issue with it and someone can be perfectly fine with it. Maybe their exposures are different. Maybe they don't have a cell phone. You know, maybe one person lives closer to a radio station tower. So I think it's a little bit difficult. And that's why you really have to sit down with the individual, no matter what they're coming in for, no matter who they are, and really get more information based off of them and then come up with a treatment plan.
My guest today, Dr. Stephanie Pita, doctor of naturopathic medicine. We're talking about premenstrual syndrome and menopause and women's health across the board. We're going to touch a little bit on cancer as we get into the second part of the program as well. Dr. Stephanie is an expert in this area. She's amazing. She will be your host, by the way, your presenter this coming Wednesday, August the 10th, 7 p.m. at the Roselle Center for Healing in Fairfax. Join us. All you have to do is go online at rosellecare.com and scroll down. You're going to see in-house health education, PMS and women's medicine, August the 10th, 7 p.m. And it says register now. Just click that button and register and, you know, be there. I promise you, those of you who heard Dr. Stephanie before know she's an amazing fountain of information and will give you things that you can take home and be aware of and you can do your own research on. And that's, you know, part of what we do here is we want to make sure that you have the tools, if you will, to move forward in your life in a very healthy manner. Dr. Stephanie, so I'm going to ask you a question because it was actually brought up in the offices this week. We have a patient who, and this is a one statement that I want people to understand. There's a problem right now in an ethical consideration in healthcare, whether it's an allopathic medicine and the world that we live in natural medicine, of treating people who come in and they present themselves as a certain sexual type, a guy who now has trans and become a woman. And the only question I have for you on the subject, and not to get into anything else about it, can you treat someone who is declaring to be female, who was born with an XY chromosome, the same way that you would treat a woman who is genetically, biologically presented woman with a double X chromosome the same way?
I think yes. So, example, you have to treat them as if they're any person coming in. I think there's different challenges that your conversation with that particular person is probably going to be a little bit different than someone who is, as you're saying, presents as female and is female. But essentially, if their mindset is in a different position, and especially if they're on something like a hormone replacement to help them with that transition, it's another transition in life, just like a woman going through menopause and perimenopause. You have to treat them where they are. So, you know, where we're not prescribing, where our scope of practice doesn't allow us to prescribe hormone therapies and stuff, we're not treating that particular aspect of it. If anything, there was the supportive aspect that they probably aren't getting in the normal community. So I think absolutely you can treat them the same as any other person that kind of comes in, and you have to identify that and respect the decisions that they've decided to make and move forward with it as if they're any other patient.
Well, I understand what you're saying. That's, you know, I would answer that question a little differently from a genetic platform. And that's the only place that I'm going with that, is that there are predispositions that take place simply because that you have a double X chromosome and somebody has an XY chromosome. A man who's, you know, a biologically presented male has a prostate, well, always has a prostate unless they go through surgery, and it has a predisposition to estrogens and so forth. But it's a whole different paradigm. So what I'm trying to say is that we're not talking about menstrual dysregulation here. We're not talking about the same genetic platform. I agree with you 100%. You have to be there. You have to know what medications they're on, what hormones they're on. And that's the piece. That's what you look at. That's what you have to treat. That's what you have to deal with. And not necessarily something that is, declared to be one way or the other. And that's the challenge right now. I've been to a couple of classes on that presentation. That's why it's up in my mind right now. I did a 2-day program on hormonal dysfunction, and those are the questions that were being asked. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. My guest in studio today, Dr. Stephanie Pina, doctor of naturopathic medicine, a brilliant, brilliant physician. We'll be right back after some very important messages. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizal. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live on a very lovely day in the nation's capital. My guest today, the brilliant Dr. Stephanie Pina, doctor of naturopathic medicine. Again, Dr. Stephanie, very happy birthday to you. I hope that you get out after the program, you get out and enjoy it. We're talking about women health. We're talking about perimenopause and menopause and premenstrual problems. And second half of the program, we're going to get a little bit into the big C word, the cancer, and, you know, just generally about that. But let's talk about the distinguishing features of what you really call, PMS. What does that mean? You know, if somebody goes on the website and says, oh, there's a lecture on PMS and women's health. What does PMS mean?
Well, PMS typically is going to be a syndrome of a number of different things that go on anywhere between 2 weeks to a couple of days right before period starts for women, before their menstrual cycle starts, and it may last the first couple of days. And those grouping of different symptoms have had different names over the time. Some like PMDD are a little bit more heavy weighted on the emotional side of things, that there's more anxiety and depression, but other symptoms such as weight gain, bloating, distension in the breasts and fullness. A lot of times fatigue can be one of the main things as well too, leading into the period and even the first couple of days. So when you see those transition of estrogen kind of coming down at the same time, that's one of the triggers to start a period, just like progesterone is when the body says, I'm not pregnant. Basically, that fluctuation of hormones is one of the key things that starts to trigger some of these symptoms. So, a transition period. You see some of those same symptoms as someone is, they don't know if they're early stage pregnancy. You don't know pre and postnatally, they might have some of those same transitions, just like they would perimenopausal and menopausal. So, those symptoms related to the period can tell us a lot about how the person's dealing not only with their hormones, but how are they also dealing with the stressors of that transition. And that's what we have to look at for not only for the women who are currently still cycling, but also as they start to transition into more menopausal phases. What does that kind of lead them up to? What might that be a predictor of in the future? And that's really why the lecture is called PMS, premenstrual syndrome, or preview to more symptoms, because really it's saying, what did we learn from the past that helps us for the future?
So I got a question for you. You know, when we look at any situation that seems to be on the rise, and as I started out in the beginning of the program, I said, we're seeing more and more problems with perimenopause and menopause and in transitions in women. And we can use the term common, you know, or we can use the term normal. So in today's world, let me rephrase the question to you. Is this normal, the way that it should be given what a woman should go through? Or is it common just based on the world that we're living in today?
Both.
Wow.
How do you like that answer?
Not what I expected, but go ahead.
And the reason I say that is it's becoming more common of a thing that women are presenting to medical clinics and saying they have these issues because they're not thinking of it as far as is this correct for me? Is it normal? And so when they come in and they say, oh, yeah, you've asked me these questions, it brings up a good point. Oh, yeah, by the way, you know, I have a really heavy bleeding cycle. I have a lot of clots. I have a lot of hot flashes going on throughout the night. Why did you ask me why am I getting hot in certain parts of my body and other ones? all of those questions are ones that have never been typically asked to them in such detail. And so they just thought it was normal and they continued on. So like I said, we've been, the transition itself, the changes in the hormone are completely normal. And the transition is to go as gently as possible.
Okay, we'll get into that a little bit more. You know, after at this game 45 years, I have a couple of different thoughts on the subject. But having said that, we're coming up to break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. This is a fascinating subject.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Enjoy the day. It's going to cloud up a little bit, so you have to be careful that you get out there and you know, have some fun, because you never know. We're in this kind of tropical rainforest, you know, it's really, really warm and it clears up and you get a few moments that it's dry and nice, and then it fools you and it starts raining again. So make sure you enjoy the day. We're talking about women's health issues, PMS, and things that are associated that could be concomitant to that. My guest, Dr. Stephanie Pina, naturopathic medical physician and somebody who I have tremendous, tremendous admiration for, particularly in the world that we're talking about right now. So this Wednesday evening, she'll be your presenter, and we welcome you to the Rozelle Center of Healing in Fairfax. 7 p.m. is the presentation. All you have to do is go to rozellecare.com and register, and that way we'll set aside a seat for you and we'll be prepared for you. If you don't want to deal on a computer, call the office, 703-698-7117. And, you know, just tell our staff that you'll be there. And if you're bringing a guest, do that. And we'll be more than happy to welcome you. If you'd like to talk to us today, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Give us a call. Love to answer your questions live. Dr. Stephanie, welcome back. Let's get a little deeper into the tranches a little bit. You know, in every, whether it's women's health or men's health, the big problem is the fear that we have of something developing that is out of our control. And particularly with women's health, you know, we're talking about cancers, whether it's breast cancer, whether it's, you know, cervical cancer, whether it's ovarian cancer or other things that are predisposed in that category. So we also realize and have to be aware as physicians that when a woman presents with certain problems, if you will, and it could be anything from just a generalized random pain, it can be lumps and bumps, it can be all of a sudden a suddenly aberrant menstrual cycle. And they're of the, you know, they're PMS age, or they're in, you're going into transition, and that's normal. They're physicians as it's normal. So my question to you is it normal? What throws a flag up to you that says it's not normal, and how does it relate to what we're talking about?
Sure. I think what's interesting is, you know, you can always rely on the female intuition that something's not quite right. And so I tell my patients, you know, they need to go home and observe themselves. So when someone comes in and they've said, you know, I've had a completely normal cycle, everything's been the same except this one thing, or ever since this thing happened, that's my red flag number one. They don't even have to say anything yet, but that's red flag number one. And then you have to kind of go, well, how long has this been going on for? Because especially with the cycle, what's interesting is that, you know, it's supposed to happen on a monthly basis. And if it's happening monthly, all the other days that it's not happening, you can feel completely normal. So I have to rely on something that happens 12 times a year in order to get any kind of symptoms or get more information from that patient. So to me, I want to look for other things that might be related to it. It might be looking at hormone levels to see how they've changed. And if they're minute and they don't fall within, they fall more within functional ranges than they do the lab ranges. I want to look at how the body has been dealing with those stressors in and around that time that stuff's been happening, what's been changing with lifestyle and diet. Unfortunately, more and more women are coming in with these issues. They don't have the normal conversation with their OBGYNs, or they're going in just for what I would say is traditional preventative care, like an annual exam, if that, because sometimes those recommendations change as well too. So they're not being monitored on a yearly basis. But there's definitely changes that aren't normal when it starts to kind of affect overall lifestyle, and now you're not doing things that you need to be doing. It's affecting the way you function socially, physically. And that's where you need to kind of dig a little bit deeper, and potentially that 15 minutes that you have with a primary care, an OBGYN or a specialist may not be enough time to get into that kind of depth of what they need. So we tend to look at things a little bit differently. And sometimes if we do to measure hormones, we need to kind of see how they're related to each other and other parts of the body that are typically left out, like looking at how the adrenals are dealing with hormonal fluctuations and transitions as well too. So there can be quite a few red flags that seem perfectly normal to someone coming in, but essentially they're setting off a bunch of red flags in our mind that says something's just not right here.
So that goes back to my commentary before. When somebody presents themselves, particularly in today's world, there's normal and common. And so things that are aberrant sometimes are common in today's world because of exposures. You and I talked a little bit offline about epigenetic presentations and how the impact of, you know, the chemistry and the neurological pathways and so forth are predisposing, if you will. And even stress levels are predisposing to a lot of these things because they affect all of us. We talked a little bit about what happens during the sleep cycle and, you know, the input of electromagnetic frequencies. But also if we're not sleeping in dark rooms where the pineal gland can't regulate itself and begin to work between 1 and 4 o'clock in the morning, then we know that we're going to have abnormal hormonal aberration. So I go back to normal and common. My position is that we're seeing more things that are common, but they're not normal. And we have to be aware of that, particularly as natural physicians. We're more in tune to the specifics of how the body should work in a perfect world. So a woman going through a normal menopausal or perimenopausal pathway going into a time when she's not ovulating, because that's really what that's all about. What does normal really look like?
Well, normal should be if we're going through cycles. And what's interesting is when we were talking earlier about how the first period for some girls are starting earlier and earlier, even in Chinese medicine, they had their first cycle starting around age 14. So it was a little bit later in development wise, when we were a little bit more mature when they started. But, you know, a regular cycle that's happening, you know, every, I would say 26, 27 to maybe 32 days is normal, with anywhere between 4 to 5 days of bleeding. That's a normal flow. And everyone's going to be a little bit different than that. We always shift. And that's why when my patients who are still cycling, I can't stress the fact that they know when they ovulate, when they have their PMS systems try to start. So they know what's normal to them. There's normal in the books, and then there's normal in real life. Just like there's treating people according to, you know, here's the latest book or the research, and then treating them where they are today. And so when you look at how that normal cycle starts to transition later on, you should start to see the disappearance or a little bit of irregularity with a menstrual cycle for women who are in a perimenopausal phases. You should start to see a little bit of hormone changes, like the inability to lose weight as much, some hot flashing, but it shouldn't be what's dominating their system. And at the same time, too, you want to ease that transition. That transition still has to happen. Just like when you see a menopausal woman come in and it's been years and years and years, and she says, oh, I haven't had a cycle for 5 or 10 years and I'm still hot flashing. That's not typically going to be a menopausal symptom, because that transition is already phased through. There's something else that's outside that could be affecting it. And that's where those extra sources of estrogens outside and dietary and lifestyle factors need to be addressed, because it should have already happened. That's more on the norm, and we should be able to flux through. But unfortunately, you know, when I was getting into medicine, Suzanne Summers' books were starting to come out about every type of hormone replacement and how great she felt afterwards. And so it was just normal to start asking for that replacement and to just get it automatically. But even balancing out those hormones, it's a tricky transition. So there's a conversation about women's health that needs to continue beyond just their hormones and their reproductive health, but into their other areas of lifestyle, just like looking at their bone health, their cardiovascular health, what are they doing for exercise and their sleep. So that way it's not just what is your estrogen and progesterone doing today for you or not doing for you. It's a little bit more of how are you functioning in today's world, because some of that world we can't change.
True. I totally agree with you. And we have to look at what we call xenoestrogenics, or the input of external estrogens due to all kinds of different things. And it's the imbalances that occur. And we know that when a woman is put on hormone replacement, or if they're put on a birth control pill, the majority of that is not being utilized in the body, so that it urinates out and it gets in our water system. And the interesting thing is that that's one of the things that they have the most difficult time eliminating, our drugs and hormones out of the water system. So they're still there, so you build up the residuals. That's one of the reasons that's been proposed, if you will, based on the literature that I've read, that guys are seeing more prostate cancers and women are having more problems with breast cancers and so forth. It's really on the rise. And so when you're looking at, you know, hormonal dysfunction and dysregulation, what's normal and what should be done, and what are the surrounding epigenetic patterns, the environmental impact that may be causing that? Yes, and as you brought up, you know, men and women today are going out to their doc and trying to get hormone replacements, you know, done, and guys' testosterones are dropping like a rock. Their sperm count is dropping around their toenails. You know, there was an article that said guys who were in their 60s in the early 1950s have more sperm production and testosterone levels that are normal than guys who are in their 30s today. That's craziness. And but the same thing happens with women. We're seeing this dysregulation that's not normal, in my opinion. So when you're dealing with people, it's we have to really say what should be taking place, what's due to their own particular lifestyle, as you brought up, you know, in the things that they're exposed to, but what's happening environmentally as well that can cause these problems to occur. And so, you know, we're dealing with that. Let's talk a little bit about the predominance, the increase. I've touched on it a couple of times, of breast cancer and also uterine cancer and ovarian cancer and cervix cancer. It seems to be rising. In your opinion, why?
Well, I think we've been talking about it as far as the way that the world is kind of affecting the rest of the body and our different exposures. But I also think sometimes, you know, our diagnostic skills are a little bit different for it as well, too. The things might have existed before in the past. Unfortunately, with diagnosing also comes more treatment types of things. So you see different types of hormone treatments for this stuff, too. You see it with men's cancer and prostate cancer all the time, like using a Lupron, a fertility drug to stop prostate growth. But essentially, you know, I think we see more and more people becoming a little bit more interested in their health. And so they are going in and trying to find other ways to help identify things that may lead to cancer. I mean, we know in the office when we talk about thermography and using that as a screening tool for breast cancer, we know that we get a lot of interest when people want to learn about that, because it's not something that's usually discussed, and they're looking for additional tools that they can use on their own. They can combine that with the information that they get from their regular primary care office, even though they might not utilize thermography, to visualize things, because, or they're of an age that they're not typically being screened. And so what tends to happen is we have more women going in more often to look at whether genetic factors are there. Are they testing for BRCA1 and BRCA2? And thinking, do I do something preventatively before this because I'm trying to avoid breast cancer and ovarian cancer in the future? So we see people getting more interested in it. We see more developments in this. And of course, there's always more money going into research in this particular field than a lot of other chronic healthcare conditions. So we basically need to kind of treat that as if, you know, we need to worry about their concerns just as much as what's physiologically going on in their body.
Yeah. The world that we're looking at is one that is in a constant state of flux, but one that, unfortunately, in my opinion, is that it is more detrimental based on all the modern pieces that are being put into place technologically, dietarily, and so forth, have the good news and they have the bad news. And unfortunately, the bad news often is the expression of dysregulation of hormones, the increase in risk of cancers and so forth. Dareth Painter will be my guest the first part of September. We're going to be talking about thermographic imaging and as it relates to a lot of the things that you and I are talking about. But the piece that I think that I want to let people understand is that, and going back to, you know, what I teased you a little bit with in the beginning was what's common and what's normal. The body has, as it was created, a way of going through life in a normal pattern that shouldn't, you know, is if it stays within that trench, stays in a pretty good place. But when it gets outside of that, because of what we call epigenetic influences, the things that are outside are immediate hands-on, the estrogens, the other chemistries, the electromagnetic fields, the alterations in our food supply and so forth. All those have an impact. Our stresses, God knows we've been stressed out like crazy the last couple of years, and we're seeing dysfunction, disease, disharmony in people's lives because of that. But, you know, in your world, you know, this is something that you see day in and day out. And I have tremendous respect for, you know, your insight and your intuitiveness when it comes to these things. So, when we, you know, we're going to come up to a break pretty quickly now. And this Wednesday evening, you will be our in-house presenter for our in-house continuing education program, as we lovingly like to call them. And I know you're going to get into this, you know, quite deeply. It's important that people understand how their bodies work. It's important that we know what's normal, what's not normal. We need to base that on our genetic histories and our mothers and our grandparents and so forth and so on, and then put together and say, okay, I may or may not, and we go on from that. We're coming up to a break. My guest today is Dr. Stephanie Pina, and she will be your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening. Give us a call. We'll be right back and tell you how to do that after these important messages. Don't go away.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. Thank you. I appreciate those of you who keep coming back. And I walk down the street, I go into a restaurant, and people come up and say, hey, are you Dr. Tom Rozelle? And I said, yep. I said, thank you for your program. Well, we do it for you. And that's the reason that it's been on the air for over 2.5 decades. And, you know, we continue to touch you and give you as much data as we possibly can. I want to remind you that if you'd like to be part of the mailing list and receive other information on a regular basis, you can do that. All you have to do is go to drtomrozelle.com or go to rozellecare.com. And there's a way of signing that up, and we'll make sure that we send you ongoing information. We would like to thank our men and women in uniform, as we want to make it a point to say, without you, we couldn't be us, and we appreciate all that you do for us. This Wednesday evening, you're going to be listening to Dr. Pina do a presentation on PMS and female health. It's going to be exciting. Again, I have such tremendous admiration and respect for this doctor. She knows her stuff, and she knows it well. So join us, and you can do that by simply calling Rozelle Center for Healing at 703-698-7117, or online, and it's very effective, very quick, rozellecare.com, and hit register, and make sure you come and bring a friend. And we're going to get into a little bit of what that's all about, but before we do, I want to ask Dr. Stephanie, what are you going to do this week? You know, why should people come and say, you know, teach me?
Well, I think one of the main things that we want to cover is understanding, as you keep bringing up, like what's normal and what's common in female medicine, especially related to the menstrual cycle and those different transition factors that lead from its beginning and how it's monthly all the way through perimenopause and menopause as well, too. What can we learn about that transition of hormones that we haven't been discussing before? What kind of questions do you have? Does the public have that aren't being answered? That's what we need to start opening up the conversation to, because there's plenty of information that we can talk about forever on this. But what is the questions that we're not being asked in the office, or you can't get out to other doctors as well too? So understanding how your body kind of works, how that cycle kind of works, can help kind of predict what your health in the future might be. and give you some opportunities to basically kind of see, are there things that we should be doing right now that can affect things, can affect our health for 10 years from now? Are there things that we can do to help our other body systems process, like the liver and the adrenals, process hormone imbalances instead of just substituting them and putting a Band-Aid on them with hormone replacement and birth control? Or if we're on those medications, how do we maximize those effects so that we don't have side effects from them and kind of live more of a balanced transitional lifestyle? So understanding the influence of the menstrual cycle in all aspects of life, at all stages of life, is one of the main things that I want to get across, and making sure that we understand that we can do something at every single one of those stages in order to have a better, healthier life.
So let me ask you a couple of quick questions. We have a minute or two left to the program. You know, we talked earlier about hormone flares, as I like to call them sometimes, or personal summers, where, you know, people are getting those hot flashes at nighttime. They get the night sweats and the like. And what I've noticed after 45 years is that some of these things continue to increase in not only impact, but also in frequency. And my thought process is that, you know, we look at several different systems. One of the primary ones when it comes to hormone is liver function. And if the liver is overwhelmed, toxic, if you will, today's world seems to perpetuate that. How much of what you're really seeing with those personal summers, if you will, have to do with liver involvement and the inability of the liver to break down and denature hormone?
I think some of it has to do, and that's why knowing some of the regular laboratory functions, such as liver panels, and know how it's functioning, not only in regards to their hormones and knowing what the hormone levels are, but how are things also that go through the liver function as well too, like cholesterol and different things that puts us in risk for heart disease doing. Not looking at just good and bad cholesterol, but how is the liver functioning? Is it showing an impact to begin with? And so I see that as part of the factor. In Chinese medicine, the liver is also the way we deal with emotional stress. So we have to be able to address that well as well too. So there are definitely other systems other than what your hormone levels are to look at as far as symptomatic control, but then also overall well-being as well.
It's curious that, you know, we look at things in a very different tranche, if you will, than most physicians do. But I know you have a sweet spot in intuitiveness when it comes to this type of situation. Dr. Stephanie, I'm really looking forward to your presentation this Wednesday evening. And again, happy birthday to you. Enjoy your
day
after the program. We continue to do this program simply because we have that insight, and for one very special reason. We love you all. Have a great weekend. Dr. Stephanie, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.